Okay, I just want to first welcome you all. Thank you for joining Susan and I. Well, I guess it's this afternoon where I am. Might be this evening where you are, or the morning, I don't know. But thank you for joining, whatever time it might be. We are going to have our second conversation on aspects of the transformative journey. So before I hand this over to Susan, who will lead us in an opening practice, I just wanted to say a little bit about the context for this call. I would say that a big part of what's driving the energy of this call is a mysterious sense of transformative potential that I've been feeling this month as we move into 2023. And I was feeling it personally, and I was very excited about it. And then Susan and I had a call 2 weeks ago, which many people responded to, saying that they were also feeling that potential. I did another call last week and experienced the same thing. And Susan and I are now doing a call this week. So I just am a little bit obsessed with the idea of transforming in 2023 right now, largely personally, because I want to be a completely different person before, you know, when 2024 begins. I want this to be, and I know that it is, the most transformative year of my life. Susan is doing a year-long program starting in June, a whole life transformation program, and she and I have been engaged in conversations about that for at least the last 8 months. And what I'm finding fascinating is really exploring the intricacies of transformation. You know, it's a word that's popular, has become popular over the last half a century or so. But when you really start to think about what it means to transform and what it takes, what it requires, it gets very, to me, very fascinating. So I could explore this indefinitely. And Susan is a great partner to explore it with. She's comes with decades of deep experience in transformational work. And what I love is that the work that she has been engaged with all those years is congruent with everything that I've done, and yet different. And so she brings a different perspective that I always find to be aligned, but it reveals things that in ways that, you know, I may not have thought about it. So that's why this is fun for me. I am currently doing everything that I can to inspire as many people as possible to contribute their energy to the transformative potential of this year by engaging in their own transformation and sharing the fruits of it with as many people as you can find who will listen. This is generally how good things happen. So I'm very excited to be here. I'm excited to be on with Susan, excited to be on with all of you. Happy to be continuing the transformative conversation and exploring the transformative process more deeply so that we can all benefit as the year unfolds. So basically with that, Susan, I want to thank you so much for being here with me, with us. Invite you to say anything you'd like at the start of this workshop, and also then when you're ready, lead us into a practice that will help organize us around the transformative mindset that we intend to explore today.
Sure. Hello, everyone. So great to be here. See a lot of great familiar faces. And thank you, Jeff, for organizing this and just to have this conversation and dialogue is awesome. It lights me up inside. And I just love being here with all of you. Very welcoming. So let's just find a comfortable position. Let your eyes relax and the pressure behind your eyes relax. And give ourselves a minute to just fully arrive. Sensing the seat that we are in and just allowing our bodies to relax into that. Allow your spine to feel supported by the seat that you are in so that the shoulders can drop away from the ears. And just letting gravity take over. Begin to sense the breath without controlling it, without manipulating it. Body knows how to breathe. We breathe all day long, a lot of times not noticing it. And just noticing the gentle ease of the breath. Bringing our awareness to that center axis that we all have that divides out the body from the front side to the back side and the right side body from the left side body. Calling all of our attention and focus to this center line, center axis as we breathe. This allows us to draw all of our attention and energy inward, centering us as well as grounding us. And when you catch your thoughts drifting away from that center axis, just gently bring it back. And now imagining the two ends of that center axis just opening up and inviting the divine to come in and move through us. Creating as much space in the body by just softening and releasing the tension that we may hold. And the less tension we have, the more space we have for the process to be working through us, for the divine to come in, and inviting in whatever wants to come in, releasing our agenda, and just staying open. Open to the process that is already happening through us. Releasing tension is like releasing the resistance against that process. Remembering that we are a process that is constantly emerging and evolving. You're not a static being. And just like the breath ebbs and flows, so does the process. As we move with grace and pleasure, a sense of exploration, and let's just sit for a moment and enjoy that, enjoy the ebb and flow, the softness and the grace and the sense of ease. Acknowledging that the process is happening through us as we invite it in. And whenever you're ready, we can begin.
Thank you very much for that, Susan. It's actually a good metaphor for today's conversation. So today we're speaking about the transformative mindset. And one of the reason we would take a few minutes like that at the start of a gathering like this is to adjust our mindset. You know, there are certain inner attitudes that are more conducive and some that are less conducive to the kind of wisdom that we want to work with today. And so sitting there and grounding in that way and opening starts to increase our receptivity, which is certainly part of the mindset that is good to come into this gathering with. And maybe I'm just inspired to continue with that thought for a moment, because we live in a highly consumer-oriented culture and very consumer-oriented times. And that means that our mindset tends to be dominated by a consumerist mentality, which means we are here wanting to get something. And because we also live in a very materialistic culture, even our attitudes about consuming are very closely tied to a material sense of things, whether it be information or understanding. So often when we come to a gathering like this, our cultural default position will be to look for information, understanding. And there will be information, and hopefully you will gain new understanding over this time together. But really, that is not the most valuable thing that could be shared, right? Because in a sense, a gathering like this is potentially a transformative event. And if we relate to it as a transformative event, we optimize the possibility that this will change everything. So I want you to think for a moment about some, what you would consider to be a significant transformation in your own life. A change in you so deep that you felt afterwards like you were a different person. Many of my very transformative, many of my most powerful transformations occurred around long retreat experiences. Possibly because I spent so much time in long retreats. And one that I'm thinking about right now, the person who left that retreat was in an essential way a different person than the one who started it. You know, that's the miracle of transformation. And I'm sure to some degree or another, everyone here has experienced that kind of shift. And when you call to mind this transformation in your life, I want you to call to mind something that you believe, or a time period maybe, or an event like a retreat, that was during which the transformation occurred. So in my case, it was a retreat. Now, what's fascinating to me as I think about it, I went into that retreat desperately wanting a transformation to occur. I mean, I really, really wanted it. And I was willing to do whatever it took. And a profound transformation did occur. But what's amazing or fascinating to me is the transformation that occurred was nothing that I could have predicted. I had all kinds of ideas going into the retreat about what I wanted, what I thought a transformation would look like, and who I thought I would be if it occurred. But as I left the retreat and I just took note of the experience that I was having and who I had become. It had nothing, it was just very, very far beyond anything I could have imagined. So, right at the start, I'm inspired to say that a big part of the transformative mindset, a big part of the inner attitude that makes you available for transformation is wanting it and being profoundly open and receptive to the fact that it will not look like what you think. So a deep passion, and at the same time, a profoundly open receptivity are essential aspects of the transformative mindset. And I wanted to mention those here almost before we begin, or at least at the very start of our time together, to really encourage you to stretch into that mindset. You know, I said we tend to relate to events like this in terms of the information we'll get, and you just got some. You may have already knew that. You probably did already know it, but it got confirmed for you anyway. But if all you walk away with is the information, okay, that's all right. But if you stretch yourself into a passionate desire for transformation and an open receptivity to how that will look, something could occur over the next 90 minutes that fundamentally changes you. So the question is, can we believe that? And you know, and that's a challenge to all of us, including me. You know, I mean, I do so many of these Zoom calls. I learn to just get on them. But you know, wait a minute, I'm here too. This could be a call that changes everything. I mean, the call that I did last week set off a profound journey for me in terms of what this year could be that I wasn't anticipating going into it. That could happen every single time I'm together. The energy that we all bring to a meeting like this is definitely powerful enough to change us if we want it and we're open to it, which are, you know, two of the essential elements of a transformative mindset. So as we continue, allow your passion for transformation, no matter how much transformation you've experienced in the past, allow your passion for even more transformation to grow inside you as just a powerful emotional desire, and be wide open to the possibility that at any moment something unexpected could shift and fundamentally change how you experience yourself and reality. And so with that, I'm actually very curious to hear Susan's thoughts on those two aspects of a transformative mindset, the passion for transformation and that open receptivity, the willingness to be different in ways that we can't anticipate.
Well, as you were speaking and as you asked us to go into that exploration, I could feel in myself a couple of things open up. One of them was that I had to appreciate and love what already is right now. so that it's not like I'm going into transformation from a place of lack, or that what I am right now is not good enough, that I take in and just fall in love with the process of transformation. And it doesn't mean that this is not good enough or I'm going to fix something. There's really nothing to fix. There's only the process of being enriched by life and by transformation. And so it's not about consuming the information, like you were saying. It's about being enriched by it. So to me, that means I feel it, I embody it, it becomes part of my being. And when I think about that, it's very pleasurable. There's an element of exploration, there's an element of play, and it's fun. And that's what makes the journey sustainable. Instead of intense and willful and determined and that fix-it model that we've spoken about before, but it's the openness to, we have the desire, that's what sets us on the journey. And then we stay open to see what's the process is going to bring in. And so we may have an agenda, but it may not be that agenda. And if I don't hold steady to an agenda and only accept that agenda, I stay open now to many different things, things beyond my capacity for knowing, bigger than me. And I let that in. That's what resonated for me when you said that.
Mm. You mentioned two things that, as you said, we touched on these in our last dialogue together, but they were things that a lot of people wrote about afterwards. And would be worth going into more deeply. So, and they're related. So as you said, there's the part of the transformative mindset means releasing the fix-it orientation, releasing the there's something wrong orientation. And it also involves embracing transformation as a process. But if we start with the releasing the fix it, there's more to this than you might think, because, you know, the idea of releasing a fix it orientation, it sounds very kind of pedestrian or something, you know, the language. But when you start to look into it, it's very profound. And if we look into our own desire for transformation, what we often find is that there's something we're trying to fix, that our transformation is being driven by something that needs to be fixed. And that's okay. That's fine. It's completely fine. In fact, it almost always happens. It's not like that's wrong. And we need to be willing to go beyond whatever it is we thought was going to be fixed. Someone wrote to me after one of my recent calls on transformation, and I'm not sure if it was the one with Susan or the one I did the week after, but one of those two. And they were saying that they had recently had some very difficult time in their life, and it had left them deeply traumatized. And it had guided them in the direction of wanting to pursue deeper spiritual transformation. So what's great about that motive is that it drove this person to pursue deeper spiritual transformation. Now, whether that transformation will solve the problem or not, Or should I say, the way it solves the problem might be completely different than what you'd expect. Because often what happens is we have a driving issue, something we want to fix. If we get too focused on the problem, okay, there's a certain amount we can do there, but it's not really transformative. But if the problem drives us to look for something beyond the problem, what can happen in transformation is there's the problem here at a certain level of conscious being, but the transformative process brings us here. We end up in a consciousness beyond where the problem exists. And in those cases, the problems that we were trying to fix suddenly aren't problems in the same way anymore. Something completely different happens. We've just moved beyond the problem. You know, we've moved to a different level. Now, there still may be things that need to be addressed, but it's completely different because it's being seen from a completely different place. So, Susan, I would love to invite you to speak more about why it's so important to drop the fix-it orientation when it comes to transformation.
Well, Jack, the origins of dropping the fix-it really begin with changing the dialogue on how we view ourselves. The mechanistic view of the body, I have a spinal column, I have a pelvic floor, like all these mechanistic views, it really comes out of studying the body from a cadaver. Right. And this is where the somatic work comes in. But really, the process of who we are starts in embryology. The process of life is from embryology. And that is a constant process of emerging and evolving. And that never stops. It started in utero and it continues when we're on Earth. And it continues and follows with us throughout. So if I continually view myself as a mech from the mechanistic model, I now view myself as an object, a static being. And that's where the fix-it model kind of aligns with the static being of, and now there's a problem and now I have to fix it, without a recognition of really the interrelationship, the interdependency of everything that's happening here in the universe. The universe has a lot going on, and we're part of so many different energetic fields that co-create how we experience our life. And so it's not just one thing. If I focus just on the fix it, I'm missing out on all what is. I'm only looking at what's not. And that is not a true picture. It's not the full picture. So the fix-it model also, first of all, there's no fun in it. So that's not sustainable, like I said before. But it's very intense, but there's no real recognition of soul. If I invite in the divine, if I invite in being in a process or allowing myself to be part of a process that's bigger than me, I now create a different lens in which I view shifts and changes and circumstances that come into my journey of the process. So I have to shift that lens as being part of something much bigger, not just, oh, here's a problem, I need to fix it. If I don't find that solution, what does that mean? So it's much more of a narrow scope that most likely will throw us off the path because we're not seeing everything that's there and we're not allowing for the co-creation to happen. So being part of the process, I first have to view, what am I? What is my body? What is my, well, we, in somatics, we call it the soma, right? The recognition of the mind, the body, the nervous system, the ligaments, the emotions, the thoughts, the beliefs, like everything. Everything is playing into this process, as well as opening up to the divine. So I have to change that view of who I am, and that will shift how I show up. And it's much more exploratory. It's less an intense doing. And it's recognizing that I'm allowing myself to be. Yes, I do things and there's things that steps that I have to do, but the intensity of the energy is less. There's an element of grace and pleasure in the process that allow for the sustainability that keeps the unexpected happening. So how we view ourself is the most important step in how we change it. And that's what we do in the somatic work in order to embody, right? I don't want to just do the process. I want to embody this process, right? So I have to find the movements in the body, the energy, the grace. If I move in a certain way, if I allow different movements, not repetitive exercise movements that are pre-prescribed and we've been doing them our whole life and they're familiar to us and they're in the fabric of our being, but what if I do biomorphic movement? A movement that is just a primal gesture of my soul speaking, and move in a way that I'm not moving, I'm being moved. I listen so deeply inside for the impulse to be moved. And it doesn't have to have an agenda. It doesn't mean I'm moving to release a stretch or a pain. It's not about that. It's about listening so deeply and moving in a way, in a pleasurable way, letting pleasure guide and moving in those ways to create that fluidity and that suppleness that will change the neuroplasticity in our minds and how we think. And this is how we change the lens. And if I'm moving that way in my body, if I approach my body that way, it will just naturally flow off the mat into how I show up. So that's why I love the body piece, because I put it in the body. I embody it. I become it. It's my being now. And so there's no more remembering. It's just being.
That's fantastic. I love talking to you. And something you're saying is, for me, triggering something that I want to expand on with you for all of us. It's another aspect of our culture and something that, again, that we will need to release to enter into a transformative mindset. And hopefully I won't forget my point, but before I say that, I want to say that Susan also used the word allow. Transformation is not something you do. You don't transform yourself. Right. If we already established that the change of transformation isn't something you can imagine. So it's kind of like trying to drive to a destination when you don't know where you're going. How can you possibly drive there? You don't know where it is. You can have the best maps in the world, but if you don't know where you're going, they're not going to help you get there. So as Susan was saying, a big part of the transformative process involves inviting higher guidance. And you know, from you know, every 12-step program will tell you that an essential part of the transformative process is to invite and rely on higher guidance. You don't transform through willful effort. And so what that means is, from one point of view, and this is a point of view I hold to, The only thing you can do in support of your own transformation is maintain a transformative mindset, which means you are passionately available to be moved, to be transformed, right? That's, you're just passionately available to be transformed. And fundamentally, that's that mindset, that availability. The one thing you can do is maintain that attitude. And then transformation will occur according to a plan beyond what you know or even can know. Now, the other thing that I was feeling when Susan, you were speaking, was that another aspect of our culture is that we are incredibly achievement-oriented. And transformation easily becomes, it falls into the category of an achievement, a particularly amazing achievement. So again, that falls in the category of things that we achieve, that we accomplish. And that needs to be relaxed. We need to be, you see, and this is where, right at the beginning of what she said, Susan talked about the need to embrace the way things are. And that's essential, because if we're going to give up the achievement orientation, that means we have to be satisfied with the way things are. If there's dissatisfaction, we're going to want to achieve satisfaction. So we need to be resting in satisfaction. So the transformative mindset is some impossible combination of intense passion for transformation, enormous openness to difference, enormous receptivity, willingness to be different, and perfect satisfaction with the way things are. You know, this space of passionate receptivity and perfect satisfaction is exactly the space where magic happens, including the magic of transformation. Because all the energy is available, that passionate receptivity makes all the energy in the universe available. And that perfect satisfaction means there's no guardrails on where it can go. That's the, you know, thy will, not my will part of the program. This, I am perfectly satisfied, do what you will. And so you are maximizing the amount of energy available for the transformative process, and at the same time, not putting any limitations on how that energy unfolds in your life. And by maintaining that attitude, miracles will continuously unfold. The transformation isn't an achievement. It's not a something that happens. It's not a one thing. It's an ongoing state of unending descent of the miraculous. And things just keep changing. And we see differently and we become different. So Susan, I was building on, you know, you started with the fix-it attitude, but you really started to move into the second thing that we spoke about in our last call that many people were writing about, which is how powerful it was to start to see themselves as a process. Mm. Not as a thing that's going to become a different thing, but as an ongoing process that's constantly in a kind of interactive flow with the, and it's not, it's not the, it's not that, and I know Susan is going to speak about this in a moment beautifully, but it's not like this body is in a process with the world outside, because this body is itself. Everything is a process. This body is a process of processes. And every interaction that I have is a process within a process within a process within a process. Life is just an infinite array of overlapping, interconnected, interactive processes that are all affecting one another all the time. And the more that we relax into that kind of view, the less we think about ourselves as an object that moves through space, and the more we begin to see ourselves as just a flow of being. And as we see ourselves more as a flow of being, our potential to be different exponentially increases, because we're not lugging around this idea of being a thing. So I would love you to speak to that, Susan, and expand on that for us.
Well, I think the easiest way to relate for me, the easiest way to relate to my body, myself being a process, I'm a living system. We're all a living system, right? The body is, it works together like a single cell amoeba almost. It's a system. It's given the internal network of fascia, which is the connective tissue that holds us all together. We think of it as like a spandex that's holding your inner organs and everything together close to the bone. That in and of itself is one system. So that's why some people can have pain in their shoulder, but that's not really the source of the pain. They could have had surgery somewhere, they could have scar tissue or an injury somewhere else in the body, but yet it's referring pain someplace else. And that's because the fascia is like a matrix that holds us all together. And so if you pull an arm out and the matrix goes this way, and I have scar tissue over here that's stopping the movement of connective tissue, well, the pain's going to be over there, right? So it all has to work together. And the integrity of that network, meaning does the fascia slide? Does it glide? Is it supple? Is it buoyant? Is it alive, not cut off from chronic tension or not being able to ignite because the muscle can't ignite because the fascia is so dry, right? Because that's what happens. The aging is a drying process, but it doesn't have to be. So thinking about that, and also thinking, you know, our cells, they change constantly. They say every 7 years, we are a completely different organization and composition of different cells. So we're different. Our cells are different. We're different. We evolve. We emerge. And so we are always emerging and evolving. And we're just this living process. It just feels so simplistic. And I guess maybe just because my experience and the way that I've been thinking of the body for years now, I just can't see it any other way. And this process is amazing. And it relates as well to the earth, to Mother Earth. We are a co-regulating system. We're a self-organizing. There's so much intelligence in this system here, the biointelligence that lives within the body. We are a self-aligning, self-healing, self-organizing system that can co-regulate to the earth. There's a reciprocity there with the earth. And when we're aware of that and we allow that to happen, the interruptions of that regulation is the stress that we hold. Maybe it's scar tissue, maybe it's injury, but we all grip somewhere, whether we had injuries or scar tissue or not. So those grips and tension in the body is, and that of course happens from the mind, right? The thoughts that we think. I always say, like, you know, sometimes if I have mind chatter going on a certain loop tape that's happening, I catch myself, I think, well, that's a sticky thought. You know, that's a thought that I keep thinking over and over and over. And to me, that correlates to sticky fascia. So because it's creating tension in my body somewhere, I may be aware of it, I may not be aware of where it's creating tension. But the more I relax and engage, I know that my mind and my body and my nervous system and the fascia, everything is working together. There's a bigger understanding of efficiency and being able to co-create how we really want to be in the world.
That's awesome. And I guess that's, you know, everything you just said about the body and the fascia and the way that the whole body is an integrated articulating system, and something over here can be affected by something somewhere else. And then you were connecting that even our thoughts and our feelings have their physical influences and vice versa. And beyond that, our whole life is like that. You know, you can have problems in this relationship over there that are actually coming from somewhere else completely, or they're coming from someplace in your body, because everything's always interconnected. And so we can't relate to ourselves. The thing you talked about, the relationship to the earth, you know, when you see robots in movies, they always roll on little wheels. Part of that is because they've never been able to figure out how to make a robot that could walk. Because the process of walking is an interactive, communicative process with the earth, in which you continually, essentially, throw yourself forward and then break your fall with your foot. And there has to be a kind of articulation with gravity and with the earth that they've just not been able to duplicate in a mechanical machine. And so when you see robots, you'll just generally always see them on wheels. And I guarantee you, if you see a robot in a movie that's walking, there's a person in there. And you can tell, usually, you know, C-3PO was not a robot. But this is, you know, it's because if you're working on a robot, you're working on a thing. Maybe someday they'll figure it out. You know, they'll figure out the more profound kind of interdynamics that allow walking to occur. But it will necessitate expanding beyond thinking about a robot. You know, you'll have to think about the whole interaction. And that's what happens with us in the transformative process. This is why I get so excited about the possibility of transformation. Because part of the transformative mindset is we need to stop thinking about ourselves as a thing and start to think of ourselves as just an ongoing interaction with everything. Much, much bigger than we can probably comprehend. We need to open to the fact that we are in constant communication with everything. You know, I mean, you just might as well say everything, because it's more than you can imagine. And so when we transform, we're not changing this. We're not changing the thing that we are. We're initiating a completely different flow through reality. We're allowing a different flow to occur. So, you know, in my current form, I flow this way, and there's certain patterns to my flow, and that's wonderful, and I'm satisfied with those. And I'm open to the possibility that a completely different flow, much more miraculous and magnificent, could be initiated. And suddenly I'd start flowing in a different direction. And so, before we go further, I just want to do a 5-minute. Oh, do you want to say something first, Susan?
I want to say something.
Throw your hand going up there. Go for it.
Because what sparked up for me is the reason why I include the emotional intelligence piece in the year-long program is because that's what stops our flow as humans. We're humans. We're a human being. And what stops our flow are those uncomfortable emotions. And when we learn how to process that and deal with that and melt that and dissolve that, it's all about staying in the flow, right? And to release all those resistances that those negative emotions can bring up. And so that's exactly why I feel all the pieces of the program are, they're big and they're important and they all interrelate. But, you know, that's always the question I get when I speak to somebody about transformation. You know, well, what happens when I, you know I should be doing something, but watch myself do something else? And that whole dialogue and conversation is all about the emotional intelligence conversation around, you know, what does it mean to be a human? You know, we're not artificial intelligence. We're not robots. We do relate to everything. And emotionally, we get triggered from all of that stuff. And so, well, how do I handle that? How do I not let that throw me off the path?
Well, that's great. And as we've talked over the last 8 months about your longer program, as you just said, it became clear there needed to be a kind of a body part. There needed to be a part that had to do with creating a different relationship to your body and a different relationship to having a body, to being embodied. There needed to be an emotional part, which shifts, transforms your relationship to emotion, and a cognitive part that has to do with our belief systems and uncovering our belief system. Like, you have to transform everything. You can't, that's another reason why the fix it problem won't work. If you have a hurt knee and you're working to fix your hurt knee, it's too small a scope, because that knee is going to be associated with, first of all kinds of other parts of your body, but also all kinds of ideas that you hold and all kinds of emotional patterns. And, you know, and so transformation needs to be a whole life process, you know, and beyond you, it has to do with the circumstances that you're in and the relationships that you have. There's transformation is a big thing, and that flow, initiating a different flow through life, is what I want us to focus on for just a few minutes, because I would like us to speak to some of you and take some questions and just get a little bit of a conversation going. But before that, I want to do a contemplation about shifting into this recognition of ourselves as a process or a dynamic flow. So please close your eyes. And just imagine a body of water, like a lake. Or an ocean. And in bodies of water, there are currents. There are effectively rivers that flow. Now, the rivers don't have river banks. But they are channels of water flowing through the larger body of water of the ocean. Maybe they're a warm current. It's a flow of fluid through fluid. And that's a metaphor for what we are. We are profoundly conditioned to see ourselves as a physical object, But instead of thinking of yourself as a physical object, I want you to think of yourself as the current of activity that is initiated around you. Now, some of that would emerge out of the physical object. Some of it would emerge out of your body. Some of it would be things that you physically did. But some of it, a lot of it, emerges out of things that you say. And the way that those affect other people. Part of the current of activity around you isn't something you're initiating at all. If people are talking about you, if they are sharing ideas that they learned from you, that is part of your current of activity in the world. So think about the current of activity that you are. It includes things that you physically do. It includes things that you say or write or any other ways that influence other people. And it includes all of the ways that other people are acting because they have been influenced by you. So you spread out. The flow of influence that you are ripples through. So give yourself a minute to really contemplate the flow of influence that you are. How is reality different because you are here? In big ways, in little ways, in minute ways. And as your life unfolds, your flow of activity just keeps pouring forth, and it has since you were born. You are like a river of action, a river of influence flowing through the ocean of reality, a fluid moving through a fluid. You do have a body. It is an important part of you. But it is only a part of this flow. And so as we think about our own transformation, think about it in terms of initiating a dramatically different flow into the world, unleashing a new flow. That is the opportunity that transformation offers. And there's much more possible than we tend to think. Okay, thank you all very much for that contemplation. Now, in the first call that Susan and I did, we spoke about consistency and depth. Because for most of us, it takes consistent effort at a very deep level to initiate that kind of dramatically transformed flow. And, you know, I do want to I just do want to encourage any of you who feel moved to explore Susan's year-long program. You know, that is a process. And then the gathering has begun, so people are starting to show up for it. And I can see it's going to be a wonderful process. And all of the people that are there will be affecting each other in the process. So, you know, part of the way transformation works, the transformation of our human process works, is we engage with other human processes. And those processes affect us. And when it's all facilitated by someone as knowledgeable as Susan, we can optimize the opportunity of all that. So please do check it out. And Susan's doing one-on-one calls with everyone who does decide to join, because she wants to get to know you now and not wait and initiate the process now. So I did want to say that, because I'm excited about that program and I think it's wonderful. But I also want to create opportunity now for some of you to speak. Maybe you have questions, or maybe you just want to encourage further discussion in one of the areas that has touched you. So what I need you to do is hit the raise hand button at the bottom of the screen. And that's how you appear for me to be able to see. So there's Ed. So Ed, we are going to unmute your line. Go ahead, Ed. I don't hear you yet. You have to unmute.
How's that?
There you go. That's much better.
Okay, good. Well, I certainly fully subscribe to your request, really, that we remain open to transformation. And in fact, I like to use the word attuned.
I do too.
To transformation. And I have a little story that exemplifies that. There's a homeowner who wants to build a sidewalk from his front door to his driveway, and he wants to use used brick. And he really doesn't know where he's going to get these used brick. But the next day, as he's driving down the road, and this is a road he's driven down hundreds of times, all of a sudden on the left, he sees a vacant lot. And guess what? There are bricks there from a torn down house. He goes a bit further down, and on the right, he sees a construction crew dismantling another house. He drives further down, and he sees a brickyard he hadn't noticed before that he compiled these bricks. He was attuned to this thought that he had about the need for used bricks, and he was given those opportunities to be aware of that, just because of his predilection to be attuned to that. I think there's a parallel there to transformation. I think if we, you know, attune ourselves to be open to these revelatory experiences, we will be more likely to have them.
Absolutely.
One other point, I also think that there are triggers to transformation, that once you are attuned, you're more aware of these triggers, like this retreat. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard of biomorphic movement before. I'm going to follow up on that. Your concept of we're a river of influence moving through the ocean of reality. there's tremendous opportunity there for contemplation and transformation. But maybe it's something you've read. Maybe it's that small, still voice. Maybe it's a scary illness and it drives you to look beyond yourself. Maybe it's something another person says. Maybe it's something that you have been journaling. But if you pay attention to these triggers, I think you're more prone to be able to experience that miracle of transformation that you're talking about.
I would agree. And, you know, the amazing thing about attunement is the more attuned you get, the more you realize, you know, you're living through a constant barrage of triggers. And eventually you just realize that being alive in a human form is already a trigger. Like the big trigger is already ours. We're here and we have no idea how we got here. How much more trigger do you need than that? So that's wonderful, Ed. I love what you're saying, and I want to leave Susan some space here.
No, I fully agree with what you're saying. It's that's the lens, right? The attunement is really, that's my lens that I'm creating, and that will allow me to interpret my life through that lens. And so when we make ourselves available for transformation, we're aware of transformation, we're open to it, that's our lens. And then every event becomes an opportunity to transform.
Absolutely. And
I write down my transformation. I've got 14 of them since 2020 when I almost died of testicular cancer. And I'm a firm believer in journaling, because I think that those again can open you to, when you reflect back on them, to actually have either having had an event that you weren't maybe even aware of, or a trigger right then and there for transformation. So that's my two cents.
All right, Ed. Thank you so much. Hello, Alain. How are you?
I'm well, Jeff, and I'm very grateful for what you, Susan and yourself brought this morning. And this notion of process, I've been more sensitive to it as I, in trying to come up with a regenerative elder process, that indigenous wisdom invites us very much to look at life as a process. And in fact, as some of you may know, most indigenous languages have many more verbs than nouns. And nouns name something and they separate things. The verbs tend to go more into the process. So I'm looking forward to go deeper in this. My sense is that there is, at least for me, a deeper current of transformation by going deeper into that sense of a process. So thank you very much.
Oh, that's great. You know, I think it was Buckminster Fuller, but probably lots of people, but I think I heard it from Buckminster Fuller, said that, you know, had a quote that said, we are a verb, not a noun.
Yes.
So that kind of helps capture that spirit.
It does.
Thank you. The origins of somatic are in, it does go back to the indigenous cultures, because in the indigenous cultures, they sensed their way around, right? They didn't have a map. They sensed their ways. And the work of the somatic work, what it's really doing is increasing our sensitivity to the kinesthetic sensing. And that's really the skill that's being honed, so that we become more sensitive to the sensations. And if I'm sensing, I'm not thinking. And if I'm thinking, I'm not sensing. So they are mutually exclusive. And so that's really what we're practicing in the body work.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Fantastic. And Connie. Hang on one second. I'm just trying to. Oh, there. Okay. Hello, Connie. I kind of psychically willed you to raise your hand. I literally looked at your screen and I thought, I wonder if Connie will speak. And at that second, your hand went up. So I feel somewhat responsible.
Good, because I hardly ever do. It's because I'm really trying to, this is my work right now, is to figure out how to express, really the transformation that I've had. And so, it's not an easy job to do. I love how you talked about the fluid, the water and the electricity and how everything's like fluid and changing. And, there's also an unchanging ground of being that, anchors this whole thing. And really, which is the question, who am I, right? I am this ground of being, this anchored, the unchanging, whether or not it's there or not, you're anchored in this. Right. And it's that ground of being that's managing this constant flow.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think the way that that unchanging aspect of reality, at least for me, the way that it shows up in the transformative process is in something we were speaking about earlier, which is that receptivity and availability, which implies freedom. Transformation requires freedom. One needs to be free in order to change. If you're not free, if you're clinging or holding on, change isn't possible. The depth of freedom that we have in our system, which we spoke about earlier as the amount of a willingness to be different, right? That's how I'm defining freedom at the moment. That freedom is what allows us to not hold on to the way things are and be available for things to be different. Now, if we're a little bit available, then a little bit of transformation is possible. If we're a lot available, if we're willing and ready for things to be very different, then a lot of transformation is possible. And if we're enormously available, if we are ready for things to be completely different, then dramatic transformation is possible. And to me, what allows us to become more and more free has to do with how deeply aware we are of the ground of being, of the unchanging, because that becomes the ultimate source of rest, and which translates as freedom in the transformative process. So yes, I would completely agree that it plays an essential role. The fact that there is an unchanging ground plays an essential role in the process.
So one of the things that my teacher always taught that was really helpful to me, and I don't hear it very often, is that it takes a lot of courage and guts and rebelliousness even to, and so I think that encouraging, that kind of strength, mm-hmm. kind of against your own insanity, right?
Absolutely. And against our own, what happens in the transformative process at a certain point, depends how big the transformation is, but we start to buck not just our own ideas, but the conventions of culture.
Right.
And conventions of culture, they exist outside of us because we start getting kickback, if we do things that are too strange. But they also exist inside of us, and our own mind will kick back and go, no, that's too much. You can't change that much. You can't be that different. You need to stay, it's kind of like you need to stay within the guardrails. Okay, you can just hop over the guardrail for a second, but then hop right back, please. you can't just go running off into a completely different direction. So yeah, absolutely. Courage, rebelliousness, you know, in a positive sense is definitely important. Yes, Susan, please. I'm sorry. I got too excited.
No, what's coming up for me is I think this also comes back to our capacity for how much pleasure do we have to hold. You know, the expression, how good can I stand it? Mm-hmm. I think when we're going through the transformational process, we'll hit a certain ceiling, like a tolerance. And if we can have a bigger capacity for pleasure, a bigger romantic relationship with pleasure and desire, this is what expands and opens things up. And when we learn the value of pleasure, it's not a luxury like most of us relate to pleasure as. It is so important to invite pleasure. It has so much more value than just, oh yeah, that's really great. This notion that we've all grown up with a certain amount of struggle. And yeah, life, it's, you know, there is some struggle, but how much pleasure can I take in? It's almost like, can the heart burst in a way? This in a grounded way, not in an ungrounded way, but in a grounded way of staying here on earth, planted, rooted, connected, but yet an openness for pleasure. And that's why rewiring the brain towards just having fun with keeping a desire journal, I find completely useful. Just like get used to having desires. Some of us are so not used to even allowing ourselves desires, but keeping a journal, it just could be big things, could be little things. I desire a bubble bath with a certain oil, or I desire something, just to let our minds dream and expand and open up and allow just unlimited possibilities to come in. Again, in a grounded way. I don't say leave the earth. That's why I'm always so focused in the body, plant here on earth and let the mind expand.
Yeah, one of the things that was really challenging for me as a woman, and I think probably other women too, is just facing how imperfect we are and how not beautiful enough we are, you know, for what Jeff was just talking about, the conditionings. And that's one of the things that really, really blocks, you know, what you were just talking about, Susan, you know, the just to be able to have that enjoyment of, you know, when you're not pretty enough and you're not smart enough and you don't have enough money and you're not, you know, all the things that we're supposed to be.
Well, that's the cultural conditioning, right? That's the disease of, you know, the norm is the disease.
Yes. Really.
So
it takes a lot of courage, you know, as a woman, which is my only experience.
Yeah. So to dissolve that inner freeze, that's part of, you know, what we'll be doing in the course, because that conditioning lives in our body. Those holdings, those bracings, those shoulds, that all lives in that psoas region of the body that doesn't have, when we're frozen like that, it doesn't have its expression. And like you earlier said in your first part of your, when you first asked the question, to express, how do I express? Well, if I'm frozen inside and I can't express, well, it has to be an inside job, right? So instead of the top-down model, which is what we'll be dissolving, it's now about coming from the earth up and the inside out and dissolving that inner freeze so that we do have the expression, an expressionable, supple, dynamic psoas. Well, that becomes what we put out in the earth, and that's where we express from, not here. Right? Up here is what we've been conditioned, it's got contamination, right? So it's like going in and like really finding ourselves, the true authentic self, and getting that connection with the deep center of the hara and living from there and speaking from there and expressing from there. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. Hello, Adriana. You didn't unmute yet. There you go. Yes, that's good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I am beyond excited with an effervescent, bursting feeling, because 2023 is gonna be the most transformative year of my life, okay? And I already signed up as a year-long program. And so I've made it, okay? So thank you. Absolutely grateful and excited.
Fantastic.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Adriana. Thank you. Hello there, Jyoti. How are you? I'm not hearing anything yet, but you're unmuted.
You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, great. I'm grateful for you both doing this. And for me, it's this new perspectives growing. So perspectives, old perspectives. I see my childhood and adolescence and more perspectives grows until I'm the cosmos. There is no any more distinctions. So this is a total liberation. But you're right, like Susan, you told us, with feet deep in Mother Earth.
Exactly.
So the roots go down, 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 down. this opens to the infinite. Mm. So I'm the stars and so also surroundings. That's I am, and I'm really grateful to have some people to speak about this. There's not so many. That's really rare.
Well, that's wonderful, Jyoti. Thank you so much.
Unfortunately, I can't join. That's too much money for me. But whatever.
You're always part of the field, Jyoti.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And yes, this has been amazing. Please do check out Susan's program page and just, even if all you do is read through it, even that is a journey. So to have the journey of that, and if you do decide to join and you do this week, then she will schedule a one-on-one call with you for an hour and you can start discussing the transformation, the transformative flow that wants to emerge through you in 2023. So yes, please do that. And Susan, thank you so much for being here. Thank everyone who's here so much. But Susan, particularly you, because I love these conversations and every one we do seems to be more exciting and better than the last.
I really appreciate these calls, and it's so fun speaking with you and with everyone. Such a great community. And I thank you for being welcomed.
Yes, and I'll tell you one thing about transformation, it's way more fun to do it together.
Yeah, that's very true.
Even though in the end you have to do it alone.
Exactly. But
doing it alone together is way better than just doing it alone alone. So
exactly.
This is wonderful.
Fresh perspectives.
Yeah, exactly. So with that, I am going to unmute all the lines. So just give me a moment here before you disappear. So I think the way this works is you can now all unmute yourselves and then we can all say goodbye together. So somewhere you should be able to unmute your line now. And then we say Thank you all very, very much.
Thank you.
Everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
Wonderful.
Thank you for the captions.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.